We're going to Blue Jays talk it up right up to the top of the hour. Didn't get a chance to do it yesterday because I really didn't get a chance to talk at all. Betrayed by my own larynx. But I'm back and hopefully be even a little bit better tomorrow. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. A 7-5 win for your Toronto Blue Jays down to their last strike in the ninth inning. Jose Bautista goes deep to force the extras. And then Rajay Davis singles. Steals second. Goes to third on a fly ball by Adam Lind. Scores on a wild pitch to give the Blue Jays the victory. We go to the phones and we begin with Rob in Aurora. Listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good evening, Rob.
How are you, Mike?
Getting better, thank you.
Well, listen, I just wanted to comment that tonight, really enjoyed the game, thought the boys played great, very entertaining, but what's it going to take for them to take J.P.R. and C.B. and stick them on the end of the bench?
I think it's going to take a lot. I really do. I mean, there's no question that he's in a massive slump right now, and I think with the 0-for-4 tonight, he's like 3 for his last 41, I want to say. Not 100% sure of that. He did pick up the walk tonight. He's in a big slump. And guys go in big slumps. You know, when he pulls out of it, he can get as hot as anybody. Granted, the hot streaks do not last as long as the cold streaks. But look at Jose Bautista. He just went through a 4-for-45. And he's come out of it beautifully. So I know there's a lot of people who are very upset with J.P. Arencibia, and J.P. Arencibia is in a trough right now. You're looking at him basically at his absolute worst. What I can't understand is why it appears as though so many Blue Jays are willing to believe that this isn't J.P. at his absolute worst, that this is normal for J.P. Arencibia. It is certainly far from that.
Yeah, you know, I love JP. I think he's a great ambassador for the game. He's good with the fans. He's a likable guy. But, you know, you listen to the comments of Jack Morris and Zahner and other guys that have been around the game a long time. And if you really listen carefully, they're pretty critical of his ability to call a good game, to manage this new pitching staff, and just the mental part of the game. And now his bat's gone to sleep. I mean, what part of the game is he contributing at?
Right now he's not. Right now he's not. But I'm not a quick trigger finger kind of guy. I really think you let guys try to work their way out of their slumps. And when they do, you reap the benefits. Now, should he be hitting in the middle of the order? Absolutely not. But he was moved down to seventh today. And against the lefty, which is his stronger side. So that's a good sign. And hopefully, he snaps out of it soon.
Mike, you subscribe to the notion that when Laurie and Reyes are both healthy, that you move Laurie to second, Bautista to third, and bring up either Sierra or Ghost?
No. I thought you were talking about the batting order for a second there. It's an interesting thought. I think that if you trade for Chase Headley, then you can move Brett Laurie to second.
Right.
But no, right now I don't think that's the move you make. I appreciate the call, Rob. I want to get some more people. Thank you. Blue Jays beat the White Sox 7-5 and 10. Jay in Kingston listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I hope you're feeling better today. I just have a question. I know we didn't have the Jays talk yesterday. I was going to talk about JP again, but you know, I don't want to keep going about JP right now. I'm looking at R.A. Dickey here. This guy's had 13 starts this year, and out of those 13 starts, in 6 or 7 of the starts, he's given up 4 or more runs. And in 3 starts, he's given up 7 runs.
Like, yeah, that's the tough part.
I mean, I'm going to be upfront and honest with you. This is so disappointing because I was one of the most excited people in the world to get this guy. And to see him struggle this much, like, I can understand, like, you know, if he goes out and he gives up 3 or 4 runs every game, but to some of these start, like yesterday's start, we could have won that game too. I mean, we scored 6 runs, and you expect your ace to at least go out. And I know he had a good start against San Francisco, but you know, Chicago White Sox aren't really a good hitting American League team. They're one of the worst teams actually hitting in our league. And to go out and give up, 7 runs in a critical game, we just came off a high, beating Texas 2 out of 3, and you know, for us to try to get back in a race. like, how long can this, are we just going to go, are we just going to keep going with this guy, or does he have to struggle every, like, I mean, is it, because this guy turned around for us, like, we've got so many injuries, and...
Take him out of the rotation?
Well, I'm not saying take him out of the rotation, but I'm just thinking maybe
how long do we go on with this guy?
Maybe it's easier for him to pitch in the National League. Maybe we can trade him at the deadline if we're out of the race. Because I mean, we don't want to be stuck with him with a salary for 2 to 3. Like, what did he sign? Like a 3-year contract with us?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if that's a possibility. Like, I hope he turns it around. I mean, I'm a big supporter. I hope he comes back. I hope he has, you know, he gets back to his Cy Young form. But let's say the next 4 or 5 starts. If, let's say, he goes 2-3 or 1-4, or, you know, things don't work out. And, I mean, even yesterday, it just seemed like, you know, we came back twice for the guy, you know, we give him a lead, and you're hoping that the guy can, you know, maybe figure it out, whatever the problem was. I know that there was fog yesterday. I don't know if those conditions create a problem for knuckleballers or anything like that. But I'm just going to go to a quick second point. I don't understand why Colby Rasmus does not play every day, and I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Okay. As far as Dickey goes, I'm not concerned. I'm not. It's been tough, and there have been some games where he got lit up, including yesterday, far more than we expected. He has absolutely been a disappointment. Nobody thought that, I certainly didn't think he was going to be the Cy Young guy that he was last year, but I thought he would be a very, very good starter. And what I don't get is the whole National League thing, why so many people are blaming it on the change in leagues. He's a knuckleballer. It's a knuckleball. It's the same wherever you pitch. And Dickey has not had good control of it this year. And whether it's been an injury, whether it's been fog, or whether it's been somebody else, something else, whatever it's been, there haven't been enough good starts from R.A. Dickey this season. He was on a bit of a roll, and then he had that rough one against the Orioles, and then went to Atlanta and got beat up, but then it was fantastic in San Francisco, and he had that the tough one yesterday. I don't know. I've never seen this guy pitch over a full season before. None of us have. He was certainly far, far better last year, but for me, there's no reason to believe that he's not going to find it and it's not going to be able to turn it around. It could be gone as quick as it came. He had 3 sensational years, though. And I'm certainly willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. As for why doesn't Colby Rasmus start against lefties, well, I think it's because Adam Lind has heated up so much. And Lind now deserves to be playing every day against lefties as well. And Colby Rasmus has a 586 OPS against left-handed pitching. It's a 270 on base. There's 22 strikeouts and 63 at-bats. He's not hitting lefties well. Rajay Davis hits lefties very well. And for me, that's why that happened. Eric is in Hamilton. Blue Jays beat the White Sox 7-5-10. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. I just want to say, first off, I think you do a great job of listening to you for so many years and first-time caller. So thank you, and I think you're just getting better, and I look forward to you sharing the booth with Jerry, because you don't need the next player in that spot. See Susan Waldman.
Jack's terrific, too.
He is, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd be great in that spot.
Anyway, I appreciate it.
I do want to, I mean, I know everybody's ragging on Aaron Sebia here, but I mean, 1,100 plate appearances in the Major League career, he's batted 221. I think this is what we can expect from this guy so far. I mean, I know he puts up some power, but I mean, his on base is just terrible.
So far, you're right. So far. But I mean, you know, there used to be a thing about catchers, and that used to be that you give them time to get the offense going. This guy was a fantastic hitter in the minor leagues coming up. And this is his third full season in the major leagues. And that's it. Catchers used to get a lot more leeway than that. And I understand that in the society we're in right now, it's all about things need to happen immediately. But look at Matt Wieters. Matt Wieters is in his 4.5 full season in the major leagues. And he's got an on-base of 301. And he was the most highly touted catching prospect maybe in history. So he still hasn't found the bat that everybody thought he was going to find. He's, I think, same age as JP or maybe a year younger. Sometimes it takes catchers a lot of time. Sometimes it never happens, very obviously, with a lot of guys. But you're talking about a guy with about 2 1/3 seasons in the major leagues. And it's certainly, especially for a catcher, not time to say that this is it and he's never going to be any better than this. And let's not forget, he's in a 3-for-41 or whatever it is now. He's certainly not this, as much as it seems to me that so many Blue Jays fans want to believe that.
Yeah, well, he's certainly not 3-for-41. I had a question, though, about our second base offensive production has just been so poor this year with Macier and Bonifacio. Each had a 5.15 OPS. You know, with Medrich in the minors, I know that it gets breaked up a little bit. Nobody's expecting this guy to be like a Matt Carpenter or anything even close. But, I mean, I know he's never been in the major league, so he's got three option years left. What's the problem with bringing him up and seeing what he could do at this level?
First of all, never having been in the major leagues doesn't mean you have three option years left. But he has been in the big leagues for a little while with the Padres. In fact, you can not have ever played in the major leagues and be out of options. That happens quite a bit. The problem is, I think, that they're committed to Asturias for the next 3 years, 2 years beyond this one. He's got a multi-year contract. He can't be sent down without his permission. And Bonifacio is out of options, and he's such a high-ceiling guy that you don't want to lose him. And, yeah, the offensive production has been pretty terrible, but it has improved. April was just awful for both of them. And Asturias had a couple of hits tonight. I don't quite, you know, I look up his numbers from the last, I don't know, 5 weeks and see how good they've been. I don't think they've been especially good, but Bonifacio has certainly turned things around since he was hitting 157. You know, in... Well, he had been hitting 300 for a while, but not so much anymore. I need you to talk a little bit now.
No problem. And my last question then again is about options and bringing up Anthony Ghost to basically play 25 innings of defense for us. Does that burn up one of his options? And if it does, isn't that premature just to bring him up for that?
It doesn't. And I think with what you said about Negrich before, showed a little bit of a misunderstanding of options.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, though, and when I come back, I'll explain them, because I'm losing the throat. It is a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at the Cell in Chicago, Blue Jays beat the White Sox 7-5 in 10. And the last caller talked about wasting an option on Anthony Ghost, and I just want to explain how options work, because his original point, too, was that Negrich has never played in the major league, so he's got to have a bunch of options left. The way options work is they start when you're on the 40-man roster, and you have to be placed on the 40-man roster 5 years after you get drafted if you're a draft out of high school, 4 years if you're a draft out of college. And there are lots of guys on 40-man rosters all over the major leagues who have never played in the majors. Anthony Ghost was on the Blue Jays 40-man roster last season when they brought him up for the first time. So this year, when he didn't make the team out of spring training and was sent back down to AAA, that was an option used. So the Blue Jays use an option on Anthony Ghost, and therefore when they call him up, send him back down, it's still that option. Because options go by years. You have option years. You have 3 years where you're allowed to option a player out. Three different years until he's got five full seasons of major league service. So once you use an option once in a year, you can use it as many times as you want. AJ Jimenez, for example. Ryan Goins. These are guys who are on the Blue Jays 40-man roster right now. Never played in the major leagues, but an option has been used on them this year. So if the Blue Jays were to call either one of those guys up and send them back down, call them up and send them down, or 7-8 times, Mike McCoy style, they still would only have used the one option this season. Let's take one more caller. Tom in Ajax, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
You know, it's funny, all the calls tonight, and no one's really talked about Bautista.
Yeah, it was kind of a big home run.
Second time this year, I think the Jays have been down to their last out in the game that he's tied it with a home run. Isn't that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand, and I wanted to call in about Aaron Tebe as well. The at-bat in the fourth, before Chicago had that big rally in the bottom of the fourth, I mean, he had a guy on third base and less than two outs, and, I mean, he was just flailing. I mean, I know the guy's struggling, but let's see a productive out. Like, what I would like to see more with the Jays is a little more accountability. You don't have to break out of the slump and hit a double, but hit a fly ball, for crying out loud. Put the ball in play. And he did a similar thing in the eighth, and then a double play follows. And they could have lost the game over this. And I know it probably doesn't matter in the greater scheme of things because, you know, barring some kind of 69 Mets thing happening, they're not going anywhere this year. So I understand. Let Aaron Tebe play his way through it. I just like the idea of accountability, Mike. I think.
Yeah, but I don't understand it from that perspective because when you talk about that, first of all, you're saying that you believe it's easy to hit a fly ball in that situation. And second of all, you're saying that he's not trying to. That you know, he's not trying to make contact. He's not trying to drive that run in. Of course he's trying to. He's failing.
Well, actually, you're making my point for me. I think he's selfishly trying to hit the ball because it's an RBI situation. Instead of saying, hey, this pitcher is just pitching around me, I'm going to be a good teammate and worry about the Blue Jays on the front of my jersey and not Aaron Tebe on the back of my jersey. And
I think he's trying to drive in the run. Yeah,
I understand that, Mike. But, you know, with nobody out, you can't strike yourself out. He essentially struck himself out. I mean, he may as well have been wearing red shoes and a clown nose. That might have been the worst at-bat I've seen all year.
All right. Now you've moved on to being ridiculous. So what was a nice little conversation has gone right in the toilet. Yes, he struck out three times tonight, and he looked bad doing it all three times, and every single one of those three times that J.P. Arcevia struck out, he had a runner on third, and there were fewer than two outs. I will guarantee you that in every single one of those at-bats, he was trying to drive that run in. And again, there's this common misconception that it's really, really easy to just hit a fly ball. Here's the truth. The truth is that right now, the team that has the best conversion percentage of driving in runners from third with less than two outs, the best team in the major leagues at driving in runners from third with less than two outs, does it less than two-thirds of the time. It's not as easy as it seems. And yes, Aaron Tebe should be doing a lot better. But to talk about it as though he's not trying or he's... It's just ridiculous. He's in a trough, and maybe it'd be nice if the fans could support him a little bit. We're back tomorrow, 7:30 for the pregame, 8:10 first pitch. Please join us. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership of the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.